Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Play Staple.
Presented by Ben.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Ahoy there, gamers!
Aye, aye, aye!
We're open up the treasure chest and let's see what gaming booty we've a found.
Whoa! My golly gosh! Would you look at this yar booty?
Yar!
It's Playstaple! Welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, the very first episode of Playstaple.
So exciting.
Presented by Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. A month-long sponsor of Playstaple.
Yes.
Ben has provided the games. We're providing the reviews.
It's a yearly tradition. Yeah, of course.
Happy Playstaple to everyone.
Happy Playstaple. We really can't understate the amount of games Ben has donated to this podcast. It's inconceivable.
I haven't counted them exactly, but I believe that it was 40-ish PlayStation 3 games and about 80 PS1/PS2 games.
It's too many. It's so much.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
And to start Playstaple, what better place to start? Well, what better time than now?
That's true.
And what better place to start than the most PlayStation 3 game of all time, Resistance Fall of Man. And yeah, we're going to be looking at other games. And we should probably introduce our guest.
No, hold on. Just like you do the things.
I wonder how long we could have gone without introducing our guest.
Well, our guest is back from the dead.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, I'm your host, Joel Dusher. I'm joined, as always, with my guest, Jackson Bailey. And our very special guest this week is a man that's often considered dead in Thumb Cramps canon.
Yes.
And it's not Mr. Ed Stewart, who we know is dead for real this time.
Yeah, that's apparently.
It is a good friend and former host of Thumb Cramps, Joel Zammit. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Hey, I hope we didn't spoil anything, but today we're looking at Resistance Fall of Man and other games.
Yeah. So much has changed. Jack's now been, last time I was on, I'm pretty sure you were a co-host.
I've been demoted again, I noticed. Sometimes I fight it, but sometimes it's just easier to lay back and let it wash over me like that.
Like the hierarchy of this now is JD, me as a special guest, now you as a guest.
I'm his guest.
Yes. You're my host of the show.
Resistance Fall of Man.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I played heaps of PlayStation 3 games, and I'm realizing this going into PlayStaple, because I had a friend when I was in high school who made me play a bunch of games with him.
Sadly, when you graduated, that friend
was,
your one friend in high school, and then you were separated by graduating.
And then, I haven't seen them since. But
Sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I think it's sad. But yeah, they loved sort of like first-person shooters, third-person shooters, and at the time, I didn't have any interest in them.
Yeah.
But he would buy
What games did you have interest in?
When I was in high school,
Neopets,
and a Little Big Planet.
That's just as embarrassing.
I love Little Big Planet, dude. I would love to play the first one again so bad.
Well, you can purchase it. Yeah, you can.
It's not rare.
You can purchase it for the PS4, yeah. A game console you were playing mere 15 minutes ago.
I should get Little Big Planet again. Be lonely by myself.
Well, why don't you get Sackboy's New Adventure or whatever? Yeah. The PlayStation. You don't have a PS5.
Yeah, I don't have a PS5. I was denied one by the universe.
Yes.
But no, so I played Resistance Fall of Man. I think I played Resistance 2 as well.
Yep.
Army of Two, 1, 2, and 3. Kane and Lynch, and then Kane and Lynch Dog Days. So I'm excited to hear what you think of Resistance Fall of Man, because I remember of the games that I played with this friend
Kane
really
and
enjoying
Lynch,
it.
They were just like characters that looked dirty.
Yeah, they were filthy.
Like they were kind of like root rats, but also maybe alcoholics.
The plot of Kane and
Isn't
Lynch...
Isn't it called Kane and Lynch Dirty Dogs or something?
That's the second one's Kane and Lynch Dog Days.
Ah, okay.
So you play as Kane and Lynch. Mm-hmm. It was one of these... I feel like the PS3 had a lot of these where it was like a co-op. Mm-hmm. First, it was designed for two people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of you played Kane, one of you played Lynch. Kane mm-hmm. was like a cool gunman, hitman mm-hmm. kind of guy.
Yeah.
And Lynch was a sort of lunatic.
Yeah.
And you had to bust Lynch out of jail to help... So he could help you get your daughter back or something.
Okay. Were they dirty?
Oh, like they were dirty. Okay. Lynch was exceptionally dirty.
Okay.
And I think that might have even been a thing. You'd be like fighting out the back of a van and they'd be like, damn, Lynch, you stink. So,
okay. Do you reckon Lynch was a Trevor prototype?
Yes. Yeah. And he was the only one that was fun to play because uh-huh. you got a shotgun when you were Lynch, and you also would get these hallucinations on your screen that like made stuff look crazy while you were playing as him. But if you were just Kane,
Looked normal.
It was like a boring first person or third person shooter.
It feels like they should be in like a white singlet stained.
I think you might have been
at some point. Someone asked you to sniff their fingers.
Yeah.
That does sound like Trevor.
Yeah. I don't know if this was Kane and Lynch or if this was Army of Two, but there was some game I played on the PS3 where you got to choose whether or not a tiger died. You were in a zoo and you found a tiger and it gave you like the moral choice. Do you kill the tiger or not?
Yeah.
And we saved the tiger and it mauled a bad guy later.
That's sick.
I think so.
How are you going to kill the tiger? Just walk away or shoot it?
No, shoot it in the head.
Yeah.
I think he gave you the choice because it was like, is the tiger going to come back and, you know, get you or whatever? And in the end, it
remembered you.
Yeah. That's fought nuts. Another guy.
Like the dog in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
You free that dog from the bear trap, and then when you fight a giant later, it hassles the giant's grapes.
That's good. That's good stuff.
You can leave the dog to die if you want, and then it doesn't help you because it's dead.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it checks
Dogs
out.
Can't come back from heaven.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. When they're there, they're there for life.
Yeah, they are there for life. When you go to heaven, you go there for life.
You're
it's
not coming back.
A big commitment.
Yeah.
You got to be really sure you want to go to heaven.
Though the heaven's gate, we think it's to let people out, but actually, no, it's to keep people in.
It's a prison up there in a way.
Yeah.
Heaven is a prison. Yeah.
Only one guy got out, and then they got him back pretty quick.
That's true.
That's
why I'm coming back as a ghost.
There was another guy that got out, and he couldn't get back in.
That's true. Yeah, he got out.
He got out. So memories like this, I feel, are very common in the PlayStation 3 era.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a lot more reflecting like that throughout the month of PlayStapril, presented by Ben.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of PS3 memories. The PS3 era was kind of when I was starting to kind of touch out of games for a while. And then right at the end of the era, I tapped back in with the Xbox 360 and kind of tried to catch up on a bunch of games I missed.
Yeah.
But that means, obviously, I didn't play any of the PS3 exclusives. I had played like a little bit of Little Big Planet. And I remember being like, whoa,
great game.
Games look crazy. but I'm cool and this sucks.
Yeah, damn.
Me and all my friends were mocking people for playing.
Oh,
we
no.
were. Yeah. And I think I played a little bit of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Okay.
I don't know why. I hadn't played any of the other three, but...
Well, it came out, it was a huge deal. They were like, oh my God,
there's
MGS4.
A 25-minute cutscene.
Yeah, I remember people talking about that.
Which is funny. Imagine being like, I gotta go somewhere, I'll just finish this bit, and then a movie starts, and you're like, all right.
Okay, I guess I'm waiting around.
And then 5 minutes later, you're like, all right, let's... And then
surely it's copying more than 5 minutes, eight? But, no,
it'll be over soon.
Surely it'll...
In fact, there might even be a cutscene that's close to an hour
I think
it.
It's... Yeah, and it's the final cutscene of the game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So you finish the game.
So you sit down.
And then you gotta sit down for 40 minutes.
Have a sandwich ready.
You basically finish the game and then there's a movie from memory.
Hang on, let's find out.
Yeah. How beer awarded with a film.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of nice.
And then, is it Metal Gear Solid 4 or 5? No, it must be 5. Yeah. Where you could, everybody got together and did the nuclear disarmament thing.
What?
So in Metal Gear Solid 5, there's something where it's like you can, in your game, do something where you do like a complete nuclear disarmament, so there's no more nukes left in the world. You completely disarm them all. And there was a cutscene that was going to trigger if every single person did it in their game, so that no game, no Metal Gear Solid 5 game had nukes in it anymore. And I'm pretty sure they did it in 2022.
They had to glitch their way to it because it's the true ending of the game, but it had been like half cut out.
That's right.
Because there's a hidden chapter which was never finished.
Yeah,
that's Metal Gear 5 the one where you can put balloons on people?
Yeah, absolutely. And cows and stuff.
Best way to get rid of a guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I just looked up longest cutscene. Yeah. So there's one that's 27 minutes in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the epilogue cutscene goes for 71 minutes.
That's a movie. That's a full movie.
And I just found out that Yakuza 0, a game that I have been playing, has a 42-minute epilogue cutscene.
That's awesome. That's just an extended episode.
Yeah, you finish the game and then you just go get, like you say, get
a
sandwich,
and,
settle
have a nice time.
In, watch a movie.
Whoa, Yakuza 2 starts with a 23-minute cutscene.
Oh, that's bad.
That's terrible.
I will check out of that game.
No, I'm out.
Too much to pay attention to.
I can't wait that long.
No. You can't wait 1 minute.
No, same. If a game has not like captivated me in the first
If a game has a cutscene, Jackson's
seconds?
Turning it off.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I'm skipping through it. Yeah, the cutscene at the beginning of Dark Souls 2 doesn't even make sense. Mm. You fall in a big hole and then you're in this world. It's nonsense.
Are you using one cutscene to justify your hatred of every cutscene?
No, I just was reminded that it annoyed me.
Okay. Anyway, Resistance Fall of Man. It's a very interesting game to go back to and play now because obviously I have had quite the gamer experience since this game came out. And I can tell that this game was designed to be a mix between Halo and Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
It very much has like Halo killer. Remember when every game tried to be a Halo killer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they had a crack. Yeah.
Did it work?
Well, Halo is kind of dead now.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe got Resistance did get
him. Halo kind of died of old age, though.
Yeah,
kinda
neglect.
Kind of naturally went into that
game. Elder abuse, sad.
Yeah.
But that TV show that everyone loves?
Had a Jeep in it?
Had a Jeep? Warthog, is that what you mean?
No, wasn't there like a real Earth Jeep in the background?
I don't know.
That's just something I saw on Twitter once, so don't take it as gospel.
Yeah, that's fair. So the plot also feels like a Wolfenstein game.
Okay.
So when I started playing it, I was like, all right, this is up my alley. So it's set in 1951.
Yeah.
And it's alternative history because what happened is an alien race invaded Russia during Second World War that spread all through Europe. The only place that's kind of left standing is the UK, who are trying to fight back this rebellion. And American soldiers get sent to England to help fight. Your entire American battalion just gets overrun.
Yeah.
The aliens infect you through, like, little scarabs. It's very similar to the scene in
The Mummy?
The Mummy.
Yeah.
And you get infected too, but you're the only survival. And what it does...
We're special.
You are special. The way the plot of the game is told is like through a voiceover and like memos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the voiceover with cutscenes is clearly a voiceover that's talking about this story as it happened in the past.
Yeah, okay.
So you know from your first mission that your character is the only survivor and they're not sure and that you go missing in action.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of intrigue.
Mystery.
Yeah, I remember that being a kind of cool part of the game is you the sort of...
So he lost his memory.
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't know if you've lost your...
Type.
Don't know if you've lost your memory, but at the end of the first mission, you get overrun with the scarabs and then you wake back up.
And are
surrounded by dead soldiers.
Like a moon knight.
And it's actually given you some little bit of alien powers.
Like a moon knight.
So it's exciting because, like, things like it unlocks, like, slightly regenerating health and allows you to do certain aspects that aren't present at the start of the game. So it's kind of, It's a justification to like subhuman abilities. Yeah. Superhuman abilities is what I meant.
Subhuman. Yeah. Like a caveman.
Yeah. Gives you a big club and you go, ugh.
Yeah, nice.
You take it like the Lex Luthor route of like seeing a superhero and be like, ugh.
Subhuman.
Then we're better.
Yeah. Inferior to me in every way.
Yeah.
And then it means that you're like capable of interacting with alien tech and stuff like that because it changed your DNA.
Yeah.
So that's fun. One thing that was stressing me at the start, though, is the first mission is so hard. I was dying so many times, and I was like, wow, I'm really bad at video games. Then after I did, like, slogged my way through the first episode, the first chapter, then get infected with the aliens, the next couple of missions are really easy.
Because you've got all the powers and stuff.
So I was like, ah, it's a trick. Well, it's not like a trick. It's like, it's meant to show that, like, the futility, I guess.
Yeah.
And then when you get these extra powers, you're like, okay, sweet.
I'm a beast man.
Yeah, because, in that first level, I think I died, like, 6 or 7 times. And I was like, there's, like, 3 combat encounters.
Yeah, and I was like...
Time for me to get good.
Is it a first person?
Yeah, it's a first person shooter.
Cool.
The control schemes, because it's an early first person shooter on a console.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. It's an early modern first person shooter on a console. I had to reorganize the button input layout a little bit, which it allows full customization, so that was easy.
Yeah.
But just stuff like crouch and change weapon were L2 and R2 and shoot.
Shoot was
R1 and alternative fire was L1. And I was like, let's just swap those around.
That's weird. That's too much.
Because like L1 is crouch doesn't feel that weird.
No, but...
And R1 is change weapon is like also not that crazy. Yeah.
But not having the trigger be the trigger of your gun is a strange choice. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like there is still a couple of things that's kind of like annoying. Like the melee attack is triangle when I want to click in a stick to hit someone.
Yeah, fair.
Grenades are circle, which isn't too bad. X is jump. You can jump in it. That's cool.
I'm trying to remember. Is the game like, is there a bit like of, is traversal a big part of the way you like move around the maps?
Not in the parts I've played.
Okay.
But I don't know if that changes. Well, maybe you're thinking Resistance 2 or Resistance 3.
I actually don't know if I ever played. I think I was Resistance 3 I wanted to play because the image on the cover of the game was him on a train. And I was like, damn, you get to drive trains in this one.
Your teen years bother me substantially.
That sounds awesome. Well, I like fighting on trains. It's a fun location to have a fight, you know? You're telling me it isn't? You're telling me the train ending of Uncharted 2 and The Lost Legacy isn't baller?
I haven't played it.
Well,
there you go. The train level of GoldenEye is no different from a normal level of GoldenEye, though, except it's a straight line.
So you like when in, say, a Mission Impossible where they're fighting on top of a train, great?
Yeah, that's awesome. Because, like, you got to duck when a tunnel comes.
Yeah. What about when they're on the train and they're fighting, but then a helicopter is also trailing, I think,
that's
that train.
The best, because then you got to fight a helicopter out of train. Even better if you got to fight across 2 trains.
Is Murder on the Orient Express your favorite murder mystery?
Well, that's a different kind of fighting on a train. That's just like a stabbing on a train.
but everyone has good. A stab.
It's still good, because trains are cool.
That's nice to know.
Yeah, I think so.
This game also, and this is a negative, is very much from the what if all games were very brown period of time.
Ooh.
Which was interesting to go back because again, like I kind of missed this period.
That's just what PS3 games looked like. They were
gritty,
muddy kind of. Yeah.
And yeah, like, because when I jump onto the Xbox 360, the first-person shooters I go back and play are, like, the weirder ones.
Yeah.
So, like, your Bioshocks, your Doom, your Wolfenstein.
Mm.
Or a bit weirder. They're not, like, crazy weird.
Yes.
Weirder is in, like...
It's funny you said weirder and they just listed some very normal, beloved first-person
shooters. No, weirder is in, like, they're not just, like, straight first-person shooters.
No, they're not
shooters.
Call of Duty or whatever. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Except for Wolfenstein, which... is probably the closest out of all of those to just a regular shooting game. Sort of. Some really crazy, crazy stuff
you
in those games.
A lot of internal debating.
Yeah, I'm mostly just remembering games I haven't played for quite a while and being like, oh yeah, they were good. Oh, yeah.
Do you find that Resistance has a lot of atmosphere? I kind of remember it being atmospheric, but bear in mind, I was 15.
Yeah, and thinking about trains, apparently. yes, the environments aren't super exciting.
Yeah.
Like, it's like... bombed out town, bus depot.
Bus depot, so yeah, that's okay. How do we feel?
Yeah, bus depot.
It's pretty good. No, but I think I remember that level. It's not super exciting.
It's just a big arena fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what happens is they're like, hey, this is our airspace, but they've decided to, like, I guess, attack us because they've realized it's a good spot to hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill every alien. I'm like, all right.
What are the alien designs like?
They look pretty similar to, like, elites.
Yeah.
From Halo. I'll show
you. They always reminded me of the fucking...
Hey, sorry, what was that?
The freaking...
You've lost 10 for that one.
Why?
Because I'm sick of it.
How many have you built up?
Heaps. I got more than 10.
No, you got none left.
I got like
now.
20 in this.
Zero.
I'm packing it. No, they always reminded me of the Cloverfield alien a little bit in their design.
Okay.
Why?
They get the same face, don't they?
I can't remember what happens at the end of Cloverfield or what they look like.
What? I can't remember what happens at the end of Cloverfield.
Well, yeah, that's when you see the alien's face.
See the alien's face all throughout that movie.
Isn't the reveal right at the end?
No, you see it.
You see his face like more close up at the end.
But you see it plenty.
I thought in my head you only really see the alien. Well, maybe I don't remember the entire film Cloverfield. Because in my head they're having the New Year's Eve party. Yeah. Everything goes bad.
Yeah,
they're like, what's that? Yeah, there's a horrible thing that's happening. You get like a shadow. And then at the end, when they go and try and hide under the bridge and all die, spoilers
for
Cloverfield.
See it when
they fight those little other aliens in Cloverfield, like these little ticks or whatever on the big Cloverfield.
That's what they look like.
Okay. Yeah.
Show me, see if I'm right. Oh, no, I was wrong.
Well, it kind of does look a little.
That's another type of guy that you fight.
That looks like the Cloverfield, ticks.
I think also, do you care about spoilers, Joel Dushan?
These are also guys, by the way.
Yeah, I think they're human beings that have been infected by the Cloverfield, the juice or something.
Not the
Cloverfield juice, the Resistance juice.
Yeah, it's also not a spoiler that happened. Well, it is, I guess, if you haven't played the game.
But that's not like a later reveal. Okay, that's good, that's good.
Yeah, they're known as hybrids because they're guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Anyway, I'm having fun with it. I'll probably keep playing it for a bit until I get bored.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like most games.
I got a lot of games to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this placed April, Resistance Fall of Man, probably like three thumbs and a knock, I reckon.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's respectable.
I will also say, though, PlayStation 3 controllers are really annoying to charge.
Why?
Because they have a failsafe in them that you can't charge them.
And use them at the same time?
No, you can't charge them in a power outlet. So you can't charge them by plugging them into the wall?
Oh.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's because they didn't build. Okay. You know how you've got to, like, if you overcharge your battery, it can ruin the battery?
Okay.
I'm assuming they didn't build that in. So you can only charge it with consoles. Uh-huh. Apparently it also works if you plug it into a laptop.
Very funny to plug in, like, your controller to the wall and start smoking.
It just apparently doesn't.
Melts.
Well, yeah, because I have, and it also, like, if you've just got a USB port in a wall, it also doesn't work.
Huh, that
so
sucks.
So it... Yeah, you can only charge it with pretty much gaming consoles or laptops, but like I can plug my my PlayStation controller into my Xbox if I wanted it or charge it.
Yeah. What the hell.
But also the PS3 doesn't have a keep the USB slots powered when in sleep mode option.
So you have to have the PS3 on
to charge a console, to charge a controller.
And so they've got a lot of battery life, yeah?
The battery life's not too bad. It's more just like I bought a secondhand PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
The controller had zero battery, so I had to like turn the PlayStation on and just walk away so that the controller would charge. Because the cord is only like a meter long, so like it's not far enough away to play.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got a red controller though. That's pretty good.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's really cool.
So three thumbs and a knock. Two thumbs for charging the PlayStation 3 controller. Also, holding a PlayStation 3 controller now feels really weird.
Yeah, because it doesn't have the same weight, right? Like it's.
And I think it's because I've mostly been playing PS5.
Yeah.
Mm. Or like a Nintendo Switch Pro controller. It's a bit weightier, and also like everything's further apart.
Oh yeah.
So
weird.
Like, there was one point when I was playing Resistance Fall of Man, which was a sensation I haven't had in a long time, where I was turning and looking in a different direction, so my two thumbs met in the middle of the controller, like they touched.
Oh, weird.
Because,
crazy.
My left analog stick was going right, and my right analog stick was going left, and I just felt my thumbs go...
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway...
Big fan.
Happy Placed April.
Happy Placed April.
Happy Placed April.
Jackson, what have you been playing?
Well, I've obviously last week was Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was
doing all right?
I okay? I'm coming out of it okay. Yeah, the worst part about Final Master Season, you might not know this, but the worst part is that the last game clicked just at the end, and I was like, I get this, and I'm having a good time.
Final Fantasy 15 got a positive review.
Bad one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a car?
It was, there's a lot to love about it. I had to bail.
Why not? You could be a Final Fantasy 15 guy.
I think it'd wreck my whole brand.
I think it might be a Final Fantasy 15 guy.
I'm scared because I'm pretty sure I got it for free on PlayStation as part
of the PlayStation Plus collection. The story's bad. Everyone's always going, oh, but it's really fun. Get into it.
Keep getting into it. Yeah. Dude.
I've returned to an old favorite.
Well, actually, just quickly before you go to that, if people don't follow us on Twitter at ThumbCramsPod, they may have missed something, which is after a month long of Final Fantasy and Final Marchesy, Jackson was in a conversation with both myself and our very special guest, Joel Zammit.
Yeah.
Joel Zammit had mentioned the video game character Cloud. Yeah, Cloud Strife.
Yeah, yeah. I'm currently playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that could be a tease for the future of this episode, maybe, unless it's Joel Zammit throws a go. Oh, okay.
Maybe in the future, a few months from now when I finally finish this game.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Because
this is long.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's like, because Cloud, he's a salty kind of guy. He's a bit of a, you know, he's whiny.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of frustrates me a lot.
And you were like, I hate Cloud. And Jackson was like, who? I didn't even think I met Cloud.
Who's Cloud?
And he was like, wait, am I Cloud? And I was like, yes, Jackson, you are Cloud. I see, was your response.
I was Cloud. Well, you got to remember, for me,
Mr. Balls was Cloud.
They were like, hey, who are you? I said, Mr. Balls. I never learned the guy's name.
But also, it's worth noting that it was accompanied by a picture.
Yeah.
Joel Zammit sent a picture
of Cloud.
I
wasn't looking at the guy. I thought I was playing the original, so it was just
they
like a
still
bunch
look
of
the same
or whatever. People were getting mad at me in the Discord because they were like, he's such a classic character from pop culture.
Yeah.
He looks the same as every other Final Fantasy
guy.
No, he doesn't. He looks nothing like Squall.
Yeah, look up
Vivi.
Squall.
I refuse. I'm not looking up Squall or Vivi. Some kind of trick me.
What's the cactus's name? You thinking he looks like the cactus?
Cactor? Well, he's not a guy. He's a cactus. Anyway.
Sephiroth?
See, I think I was getting Cloud and Sephiroth confused.
How?
Well, I don't know.
One's got, like, very long hair.
And a long
sword.
They both
just look like anime boys to me.
Yeah. They are.
That's like looking, to me, that is the same as if I held up a drawing of a cow and then a drawing of a tree. Yeah. And you're like, oh, they're both cartoons. I can't tell them apart.
It's like being able to be like, oh, yeah, that's Donkey Kong and that's Donkey Kong and it's cranky and funky. They're two very different Kongs,
but
dude.
If I didn't know the Kongs,
you wouldn't say they're the same guy.
Well, I know, but I could get them confused.
If I held up a picture of Mario and Luigi to someone and they said,
do I know Mario and Luigi?
No.
But then I could get them confused.
That's Mario and that's Mario where he's wearing a green shirt, I guess.
Mario and Luigi, to be fair, have an M and an L.
One Sephiroth and
no, not even M and an L. One is tall and like lanky. The other one's kind of, you know, short and
but I can get them confused.
Sephiroth and Cloud have zero of the same features except they're white and in the same game.
Yeah.
Like different hair color, totally different clothing color.
Spiky hair, they both got spiky
hair.
No,
they don't!
Just don't.
Sephiroth has long flowing hair.
Yeah,
maybe I have to get to someone else, I don't know.
How do you play a video game without opening your eyes?
I don't know.
Anyway,
dude,
tell us what you've been playing this week.
So, The Long Dark had a...
Oh, we're here again. Have I never left this show? Am I not dead?
Well, I added a new expansion recently.
Oh, sick.
Okay. So I'm not just reviewing the game. I'm reviewing the expansion.
Yeah. I think The Long Dark will hold the record currently for the most reviewed game on ThumbCramps. Dark Souls is probably close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking this. There's just like some games I cycle through in my life, really, isn't there?
Skyrim also would be up there, I think, because like we would have both reviewed it.
Yeah, that's
true. Same with Dark Souls, though.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. I'm okay, the only one reviewing The Long Dark, except Adam maybe once.
No, right, so John from...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
John from all the small games. What
expansion? So the expansion's called Signal Void.
Okay.
Is it a story expansion?
Yes, in a way.
Do you hate it?
No.
Because it's
it.
Only in a way for the story.
Well, it does this thing that I think has been missing from The Long Dark for ages, which is it's...
It removes the story.
Well, it gives you something to do in a sort of just like a basic survival world beyond just surviving, which I think is great, and I'm honestly shocked hasn't been added to the game yet that this is the first time they're doing it.
Because usually it's like that, you get to that point where it's like, I'm struggling to survive. Yeah. Oh, I'm finally there. I've got the bow and arrow. I'm doing really good. I've got the rifle. Sweet. I've been able to, like, you know, make actually bullets. Yeah. I'm doing real well.
I've got a safe house. I'm living large.
Now I'm bored, and that's usually your downfall.
That's when I'm like, I'm bored. What if I just fought wolves in the nude or whatever?
Yeah.
It's all how long I could survive for. So what they've added is a bunch of other stuff. This is part of their, they've got this kind of like long-term expansion plan called Tales from the Dark Territory, which is adding a bunch of stuff, including two other survival quests, I guess you could call them. And this is the first of those. So in the location that they added in the previous DLC, the Forsaken Airfield, if you go to the top, which is like a little kind of like rural airstrip, if you go to the top of the watchtower or whatever, you can get a little transponder, and there are bunkers spread across the gigantic Long Dark map that, well, there are bunkers, but there are also towers that you need to fix, and when you fix them, you can use the transponder to locate somewhere in that map a bunker, and if you do all of them, I think it leads to a gigantic military bunker somewhere.
Whoa!
Which is cool, and what I just like about it is that it gives you this purpose beyond just surviving, which is really satisfying if you've been playing the game as long as I have. You're no longer like, well, you know, no matter the, if it's a different location, sometimes it doesn't really make a difference. If you're like, I gotta get food, I gotta get water, I gotta get some way of protecting myself and some way of keeping warm, and then you do that, and no matter where you are, that's not that interesting. But if you're like, I got to get the transponder, I got to fix the tower, which requires getting stuff like a car battery, wires, getting a bunch of scrap metal, fixing the tower, and that's only like half the problem. You fix the tower, now you need to use the transponder and wander around the map till you can find the bunker. And all the while you're doing this, you've got only one sort of life, so...
You got to survive.
You're kind of like, the stresses of it is not just like, oh no, I'm going to die and lose all my progress. It's like, I'm going to die and have to do all of that again. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes it way more intense when you're doing it.
It also removes the safety of a safe house, right?
Yeah, well, exactly, because you're like, I need to keep
moving. You've got to wander around the
whole map. I've got to go everywhere, and it's super spread out. Additionally, the Forsaken Airfield is separated because now you can choose between two, like, overworld maps, the regular one and then the Far Territory. And the Far Territories are separated from the main sort of areas by this really long, it, like, takes you 2 days to walk it, basically like linear corridor where you're following a train track. So it means that you get the transponder, you do the one in the airfield, but then to do any of the others, you're like, I got to make a freaking journey back, and then that only gets me back to the main areas. Now I have to find the towers, find a car battery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All the while getting hunted by wolves.
Exactly.
And how many times have you attempted this?
Four times now.
Zero success?
I've gotten the bunker on the first one, which had a bunch of great resources in it, in the airfield, but I've not made it to the... And every time I die, it's so frustrating that I have to stop for a little bit. I'm like, I got to go back in the tower, I got to do all of that again, I got to go get this one. But I just think it's such a great addition. It just like really has refreshed that survival gameplay, and it's made me really want to get back in and start playing again.
Did you die doing the 2 day trek? Is that what killed
you? Yes, that's what's killed me most of the time. That because it's just a really long trek, and there's very few safe houses. A lot of the time you're camping outdoors, and a lot of the time you've had to do the entire Forsaken Airfield to get to the bunker, and that's a really, it's like a high-end area anyway, so you're always struggling by the time you get to the walk, and then you're killed by a bear or whatever.
You're running low on resources.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, and you're like, but you got the transponder. Additionally, you can only use the transponder when an aurora happens. So aurora is this—it's this weird thing that happens in the game where there's like auroras in the sky, like aurora borealis, and all of
this time of day.
This time of day. Yeah, oh my
great
god!
Great reference,
Principal Skinner. Skinner.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Skinner!
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
I had a crayon, but I ate it or whatever Ralph says.
I broke my Wookiee in half.
I saw Snagglepuss pissing on the grass.
I choose you.
I like that somehow we bounced from the Aurora Borealis of steamed hams bits into Ralph.
Right. And then Martin Prince.
That was Martin, not Ralph. Wait.
No, that's Ralph. That's Ralph. Ralph gives the choo-choo. A Martin Prince quote would be, well, back to the Pequod or whatever he says when his pool collapses.
Mm.
You remember that episode?
No, I don't.
He's got a pool.
Oh, wait, I do remember that episode. Yeah, yeah. And then there's also an episode where Bart has a pool but has a broken leg or
That's
something.
Same episode.
Jeez. Because
yeah, yeah, yeah. Lisa becomes popular and then Martin Prince gets like a bit jealous or whatever, and he makes an amazing pool. But yeah. Then it's not, it's the problem with Martin's pool, see, it's not well structured.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
I know, it just falls and then. Everyone deserts him, and I think he's pantsless.
Yeah, and then he's staring off into the distance, and he says, well, back to the forecastle of the Pequod, because he's reading Moby Dick in that episode.
Ha! Huh. That's like you.
Ah, you nearly did a Nelson. Ha!
Nuke the whales. Well, you gotta nuke something.
That's good.
Perfect.
Anyway. So you need to do it during the Aurora when all of the technology in the world sort of, so all the lights turn on again. If you go in the airfield, if you climb into like a plane or whatever, all of the dials on the front are spinning, which it's very spooky when that's happening. And that's the only time your transponder will actually turn on because it's powered. But also during the Aurora, the wolves get like Mondo Super Bombad Racing scary and they're way more aggressive. So you're wandering around in the dark because it only ever happens really in the dark with wolves everywhere, glowing eyes. With your little transponder. It's very scary. It's very good.
It's like the Aurora is like, the wolves are like, lights?
Oh, everything's
back.
Man.
Technology's back. Oh, I'm pissed off.
I'm angry.
I'm going to kill a guy.
I'm going to bite a guy. Where they at?
I'm going to get them. It's funny going back into the Long Dark and I like some of the things that I've still never learned. Like, I'll always have my gun out and when I'm opening a door, often I'll just shoot the door instead.
Lucky bullets are really easy to come by.
One of the times I died, I had the gun, and I went up to the door to open it, shut the door, and then a wolf attacked. Oh, like, there was a wolf by me, and I turned around, I had no bullets. Because I just fought the door.
How are you still making mistakes like that? You've played the Long Dark so long.
Because when you have a weapon out...
Yeah.
If you click, you fire. Right?
I understand.
But also, you need to click on a door to open it.
Yeah, you got
to
holster the weapon. I get it.
Yeah.
I've understood that already.
But I'm always so paranoid that I'm going to get killed that I got to have the gun out at all
you're
times.
You're always trying to do everything so quick is your problem.
Yeah. You ever seen him, like, you know, there's a path over there that, like, you know, slowly goes down a cliff face.
Yeah,
controlled descent, which has a very high risk of spraining or breaking. Breaking your ankle.
Yeah, that's another one of the ways I die. Not that exactly, but on the Forsaken Airfield level, on the way to the cabin near kind of which is the first bunker, there's a lake.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side of the lake is a crashed helicopter that often has a flare gun in it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I'm going to run that lake. It's a frozen lake, and pro tip, you can't run the lake.
Damn, yeah.
So I froze to death at the helicopter.
I really miss watching you play Long Dark. Damn.
I live a hectic life. Yeah,
so how long do you think it would take whilst playing a video game to stop making the mistake of accidentally shooting the door in a situation where you've got a weapon out, and if you holster the weapon...
Yeah.
You'd
like a ballpark. Like,
how long would I learn that?
How long would it take you for you to stop making that mistake, do you think?
For me, maybe... if I'm paranoid...
Yeah.
Like... Three turns. Yeah. Three times, I'd
three
be like...
Times.
Okay,
yeah.
Three
so
times.
So let's say 2 hours, I guess.
Okay, fair enough.
Jackson has played The Long Dark on PC, and this is PC only,
because
I know you have also played it on PS4.
That's true.
For 257 hours.
King.
And I'm still shooting doors.
Still
on campfires sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I should light the campfire. Oh, man.
Oh,
damn it. Okay.
Because a gunshot would... Alert the wolves.
Sometimes it scares the wolves away, but sometimes it does make them be like, hang on a second, who's that?
I am hungry.
I am hungry, and there's a guy over there, and I think that was his last bullet, I'm pretty sure.
Wolves, they're just counting your shots.
There's some really exciting stuff coming as well in the future updates. I know they're adding cougars, which I'm very excited for. I think that's going to be very scary.
Yeah.
As well as a bunch of other like landscapes.
Make sure your gun's always
out. Oh, yeah, I'll have that out. I'm sure that'll help me when the cougar comes for me. Oh dear. There was a period of time where I had absolutely nailed how to kill every animal, every combatant in that game, and prey as well, like that I could shoot to eat. Like, I could kill him in one shot, one bullet. Mm. And then they were like, we're going to make the guns a little bit more realistic, and I've just never been able to recapture it.
That's all right. Maybe in another 257 hours,
maybe
you'll
be right. Finally yeah. get there. Yeah.
You got to stop fighting the doors, I guess.
You got to stop shooting doors instead of opening them. And then when I go in there and I'm looting, I'm always like, man, I'm out of bullets. This was worthless.
Maybe I'll find a bullet. No.
Damn
just
it.
Some more, like, tarned, like, was it just some socks again?
Yeah, just some new sucks. God damn.
Yeah.
Wish I still had that bullet.
That would help me when I'm attacked by wolves later.
Oh, yeah, a can of peaches.
Yeah, cool. Mm. But no, I think it's great. I think it's such a good addition. It's not heaps, but you basically, if you've bought the DLC, it's like a season pass, so you're just getting it slowly updated.
Yeah.
But I think it's just such a, and I'm really excited that there are two more. I think it's just nice to include those narrative-based things in the sort of, like, free sandbox survival.
Yeah.
Because it just adds that, like, otherwise, yeah, after a while, I'm fighting wolves in the nude because I don't have anything to...
Yep.
Aim
because it's that kind of thing of like, you know, with say that survival thing where it's like you're trying to last as long as you can. And, but once you get into like that positive feedback loop, it's very hard to die in that kind of
Minecraft has that too.
You're like, oh, okay, I've got enough meat to last me for, look, 400 days.
Yeah.
I get up, I've got a lot of water there, I do that, I eat. Go to sleep.
Yeah, I've got no reason to leave. I've got no reason to go
anywhere.
Wouldn't
it be smart to do that first in these survival campaigns before you start looking for
It would, but I was like, I want to try it out so I can review it on Thumb Cramps. And if I just spent the time getting tough, I don't think I would have properly done it.
So now you're going to go back and you're going to try that?
I'm probably going to spend some time, get in a really good position, and then go and do it.
I feel like the probably carried a lot of weight in that sentence.
Well, I'll also probably get impatient.
Yeah.
We know.
I've got four meats. That's 4 days. I know the trek's 2 days. That's heaps.
Yeah, I'll be right.
I got six bullets. How many wolves could there be?
Exactly. I don't even need
make
water.
That five.
I got snow around. I'll just drink the snow.
One of the other times that I died, I'd made it to the cabin near where the bunker is, and I didn't have much food, but in one of the hangars at the airport.
This is going to result in you eating poisoned meat, right?
Yeah, in one of the showers, I found a rabbit corpse, and it was all I had, and I harvested it for moldy rabbit meat, and I was just sitting there with it like, do you reckon I'll be okay? I wasn't. I got very sick and died in the cabin.
That guy that went on...
Which guy?
The real life guy.
Died in a bus?
No, not the Into the Wild guy. There's a cabin guy. And he got lost, found a cabin, and then was like, we're still in the middle of nowhere, but he was only like 4 miles from a road.
Oh, yeah, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ate moldy rabbit, but
no,
probably.
The guy on the bus ate bad seeds or something,
he
right?
ate bad berries, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, it's great. I think it's so good. I think it's such a fun addition. I'm really excited to see what they add next. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's come out with this one as well, like... You can make, you can get acorns now. Make coffee, which has got the community in an uproar.
Whoa, why do they like coffee?
Well, because coffee's really good because it means you don't get tired, right? Which is obviously like a big problem if you've run out of stamina, you're tired, you can't maneuver around the map.
Uh-huh.
But coffee's really good because it'll perk you up and let you get that extra distance. So people were like, well, hopefully this is the kind of thing, we just get the acorns, we boil them, make a coffee. It's like a natural coffee or whatever. But it's like, you got to go through like 4 steps to get the acorns to do the same thing as coffee. And even when you do, it's not as strong. So they're like, why would I ever invest my time in that? It just doesn't seem worth it.
But is that something you can do in real?
Yeah, apparently.
What, boil acorns?
Yeah, you can have an acorn drink if you want.
And has similar properties to
it? I guess so. Yeah.
Well, that's what the Long Dark community is saying.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And they're pissed off. Anyway, 5 thumbs.
Oh, yeah. Didn't see that one coming.
Zama, what have you been playing?
Well, I have been playing the Final Fantasy Remake, but I'm not talking about that today.
Yeah,
okay. I'm not that far into it. Like, I haven't even met Dog Balls yet.
Oh, Dog Balls. He was in a tube.
Yeah.
What's he doing in there?
I couldn't say.
Whose dog was he?
I don't know. Someone's. He talked like a man.
That was crazy. Whoa! Was it a man in a soul in a dog body? I don't know. So I've been playing, I played Frostpunk.
Oh, Frostpunk.
A game that I remember years ago. I'm like, this has perked my interest. And I think we purchased it. And I think I watched you, Jackson, play a game. And then immediately basically get kicked out of the town.
Yeah.
Or kicked out of the, I guess, the community that you were trying to save after you had not fed them. They resorted to cannibalism.
I encouraged the cannibalism.
I know Frostpunk
now. Yeah, it's good.
Very fun. on. So I was like, it's a game that I've been wanting to play because like I like the aesthetic. I like it. It's a city builder. It's that kind of survival as well. And I'm like, oh, you'll maybe I'll give it a bill now that I've got a Steam Deck that can play said thing. And damn, did that become my obsession for a good maybe 2 weeks, maybe less. Anyway, I've got like 43 hours played.
Damn. Yeah. I missed the Joel Zammit.
I went to a hole. Yeah. It's one of those games where you can easily play because like it's a, you know, you'll go a scenario and you'll play it all the way through. And each scenario, it takes a while.
Yeah.
Just because of time blindness. I don't know.
Yeah, I see.
And then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and my wife messaged me at 11 a.m. to, where are you? Come to bed.
Where has my husband gone?
Yeah, he's gone to Frostpunk War. I'm excited for you to inevitably get a Steam Deck and leave it on the boss, Jackson.
I'll have a Subway sub in one hand and the Steam in the other, and then I'll throw it in the bin instead of myself.
Yeah. Oh, no, I accidentally kept my moldy rabbit sub. I threw out my Steam Deck.
Damn it.
So it is a city builder. I've bought like the one that's like all the DLC.
Yeah, sure.
It's basically I've like sped run like the you know playing Frostpunk that I guess people who were playing it from the start and they waited all this time to play it. And I've just played it all in like a week and a half.
Yeah, yeah, smart.
And I think Frostpunk 2 is coming out.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah,
I'm
fair
like,
enough.
Ooh, I'm excited for Frostpunk 2. So I'll just go right. I'll go ham on Frostpunk.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got all the DLC, and it was more of a thing of like, right, I'm just going to play through each scenario and try and, you know, beat the scenario, and that's going to be like, I'm done with the game,
yeah,
and that'll
sure.
be like, I'll stop, because it was becoming...
It was consuming you.
Yeah, it was a problem.
Absolutely.
It was a problem. Really, really love the game. So much fun. It's a very simple city builder of like, okay, you've got this. So it's all set in like a post-apocalyptic, like 1800s sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's kind of almost.
Turn of the century kind of like world.
Industrial revolution-y.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, it's just everything is bad. Eric, the
it's based on a real life event.
What?
Yeah, the
that's
1883
cool.
eruption of
Krakatoa. Krakatoa, of course.
Okay. Which, and a volcanic.
Blocked out the sky.
Yeah, a volcanic event that led to global cooling.
Made whatever his name is, Herman Munch, draw the scream.
Yeah!
His name is absolutely not Herman Munch.
Herman Munch drew a scream because it was too dark.
It's I'm going to take a stab. I'm pretty sure it's Edmund Munch.
No.
Is it Herman Munch?
I'm pretty sure it's Herman Munch.
I don't know if it's Edmund Munch, to be honest.
Edmund.
Oh, you're going to Google Edmund Munch and not the scream.
Not the scream, really?
Okay, I'll Google the scream.
Google the scream, a very famous painting.
Okay, so.
Both right?
Edvard.
Uh-huh.
Munch.
Oh, you were the most, you were the closest.
Very, very correct.
Yeah.
And look here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll download this pronunciation just so we can hear how right I am.
It's crazy to download a pronunciation.
Yeah, for some reason it won't play. Okay, it's not compatible with an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
You can put it in post.
Yeah.
The real name of the guy what wrote the scream is...
Edvard Munch.
Oh, the guy that wrote the scream is Kevin Williamson.
Oh my God. Real name of the guy who draw the scream is...
Edvard Munch.
What is painting if not using
writing.
Images to create words, but
you draw
you
a story,
see.
I guess, yeah.
If a thousand picture paints a thousand words.
So it's a thousand words.
Yeah, it's a thousand saying. Every painting is a thousand words. Yeah.
It's
picture.
Crazy they say a picture paints a thousand words, yet movies are 24 frames per second.
That's a lot of words.
That's a lot of words,
but a script is about one page per minute. And video games can run as fast as 120 frames per second because gaming PC is better than the movies.
Yeah. Higher number mean good.
Yeah.
If the Hollywood we wanted to be respected, they release movies at 60 frames per second like Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Yeah,
do people say 60,000, a thousand words are worth a picture? Do they do it backwards?
I reckon. If not,
a picture paints a thousand words.
A thousand words paints a picture, surely.
Surely. Anyway, so it's like Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
It's like big freeze. It's like very cold, and you're like, okay, you got to survive it. And the first game, like the scenario, which I think was one that everyone sort of played the longest, as it were, was out. It was like, okay, cool. You're just doing this, and you're trying to survive, and like events happen. Either it gets a little bit colder,
mm-hmm.
and then becomes a bit warmer, and then it's like, hey, we've okay. things are going real bad. It's like the great storm is coming, so we got to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got to do as much as you can. And, oh, the attempts that I have had on that and just absolutely eating so much shit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like,
well, here we go. Because it's very, very, very easy to get into that sort
is
of negative
unforgiving,
feedback.
Do you reckon?
I was playing
not in
a
bad
normal.
Way. Unforgiving can be good.
Yeah, like I was playing in a normal difficulty.
Like and... the Long Dark.
Or Dark Souls.
Don't walk off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to get a place quick.
No, you...
I would say it is unforgiving if you don't have a plan for like the first 3 days.
Yeah, okay. Like
so unforgiving first... for Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like, if the very...
So Zootaker.
Like the very early game.
Oh, my monkey's gone.
Where they go?
Oh, I only made half a pen for them.
I didn't complete the fence.
All my apes gone.
All my apes gone. No.
Zuki Pinkham back, yeah?
Hey, everybody. It's Jackson. This is my zoo. How's everyone doing today? Didn't put it back on the monkey cage. So if you see a monkey, let me know.
Yeah, because they should be back in there.
They should be
tell
back
them
in
to
there.
Get back
they
in
will,
the cage.
They will try and trick you by wearing a t-shirt, so you might just think it's a boy.
We were
it's
training
not.
The monkeys to impersonate boys for some other thing.
For movies. We're going to get them all jobs in Hollywood.
Yeah, because I've
pay the
this...
zoo bills.
Yeah.
You don't know how expensive
you
this
know,
place
I'm
is.
I'm in so much debt. You have no idea.
Anyway,
running
go back
a
to...
bad zoo is...
It's hard to run a bad zoo.
It's a real money hole.
So you can easily get into a pretty very easily you go into a negative loop.
Yeah.
Especially if you are like don't plan for say like a big drop in the temperature that's about to come because people will be like, it's too cold, and you're like, I know, and then like, can you warm the house? I'm like, I'm trying. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna put like the generator, I'm gonna like overkill and like make it go real like, you know, real like just the generator overheating. Yeah, it's gonna be great. And then you don't pay attention to it, and then it gets to 100% and it blows up.
Just killed people.
Did everybody get really cold because the generator's broken?
Yeah.
And then you click the cannibal button.
I guess eat each other. What the hell?
There's one playthrough I was having, and we got to the point where food was scarce.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like we found someone raiding the morgue. What should we do? And I'm like, I'll let him go. I mean, you can't. He's just trying to get by. Like,
let it ride.
Would you like to implement the fact that maybe we become cannibals? And I'm like, I think I want to. And it's like, discontent is too high. I can't do that.
Oh no. Everybody should be ready for cannibalism at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, they were, but everyone was too mad at me. So I couldn't.
They hated me.
It's all very cold. You got to survive. You got to try and do like food. There's always ways to be like, okay, I got to be able to like harvest steel, harvest wood, harvest coal.
Yeah.
And then also
harvest moon, video harvest games. Moon.
Nice, dude.
Harvest
nice.
Moon, i.e., food.
Yeah.
Like, always, there's like a couple Jeez. Options how to like do a couple of things.
Yeah.
So it's like you go either like, okay, you go and hunt in the wilderness to get some meat, or you can try and build up
farms,
like a horticulture thing. To be like, hey, we've got plants, I guess. And so there's a lot of like, you know, you can go one path or another. There's a tech tree as well when you're sort of building it. And yeah, a lot of the stuff is like either just racing to a certain point.
Yeah.
And eventually you can get like automatons who do
the
work of all the workers, and that they can like, all right, cool, I'm just going to use them instead. They can work 24 hours. Don't worry about it. They don't get sick.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
There's a few different things you got to pay attention to. It's kind of like hope is one you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if your hope reaches zero, people are then mad at you, and you may be exiled or killed. Depends how you go.
Yeah.
Then there's, discontent, and if it gets too high,
exiled
people are mad
or killed, fair enough.
Then there's health of people. Yeah. So people get sick real easy, and then you get to a point where you can either like, we're not going to care for them, we're just going to make them comfortable until they die.
Yeah.
Or you're like, we're going to do whatever we can, and then they become amputees. And then, and then you can be like, and then we're going to try and get them like prosthetics, and then they can go back to the workforce.
Oh yeah.
So you got that to manage as well. You've got the temperature wise, like how cold everyone is.
Yeah.
And you've also got like workers and engineers.
Yeah.
As well. And like, again, it's like a lot of scenarios. You can send people out like scouting in the frozen like tundra, as it were, that was once England. And you can kind of have different scenarios. And it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll go there. Or what's happening there? Oh, investigate. You lost contact with your explorers. Oh, yeah. They coming back?
No.
They come back on the road. Oh, they're gone for good.
Okay. And so, yeah, that's one scenario. And then the DLC that came out, like they have different scenarios.
Yeah.
So in like one of the first ones, like the fall of Winterhome.
Yeah.
And it's like in the playthrough, it's like this lone survivor comes to your town and it's like, Winterhome has fallen. It's all bad. And then they die.
Yeah.
And then discontent rises, hope falls. People are like, we got to go back to London. You're like, don't go back to London. And then you either go fascist or religious fascist.
Oh,
it's
I
real
see.
Cool. And so this one, like playthrough, you play that. You play like, okay, Winterhome is about to like, it's stuffed. There was an uprising. You do your best. And then it's like, and the generator is falling apart. So good luck. We have to like, we got to evacuate.
Yeah.
And so then you got to like do all this kind of stuff. New buildings are there to send all these people to like a boat you found. And then you can be like, all right, I'm sending a bunch of stuff there. Hopefully it's enough. And then it's like, all right, you've built enough cabins, but not enough to put all the people that are there, but the time's run out, so I've finished the thing, but here's a scenario. Yeah, not many. Yeah, you didn't house them all, you idiot.
Oh, no.
You dumb son of a. And now they're like, good luck, I guess. Good luck, us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's like little references to like, you know, and then you send like a couple party to like, oh, go, you know, north or whatever. And it's like, oh, cool. That's going to be that guy.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
That's neat.
And then in another scenario, it's like even before that, at that point as well. And then as you're scavenging around, you find like generator parts that were meant for Winterhome.
Oh,
and so
I
it's
see.
Like, I take them. So it's like, oh, I was the problem the whole time. Me.
That's
yeah,
cool. So
that is good.
Every kind of expansion is like giving you a little bit more context for the rest of the game.
I really like the expansions and what they did. Like one was like the Last Autumn, which was kind of like, things are a bit dicey in the world. It's not cold yet, so it's like it was nice seeing grass and everything. It's like, it's not cold, but we're doing this, designing this like these generators. We're very important for the, like the survival of humanity, so we need to make sure that this is being built. And so it's like, yeah, things aren't cold, but there's rumors and there's like people getting stuff from like London, and that, you know, one of your workers got like a nudie picture sent to him, which is causing uproar. Should you,
oh my
do you
want
to confiscate it or let him have it?
I'm confiscate like, it. Let me see.
I'm like,
wazza.
I'm like, let it ride. And later on, it's like someone found that and they got into a fight. I'm like, let it run.
Someone's going to die for this nudie picture.
And then, that one is like a real. At one point, you can either like go side with the workers or side with the engineers.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, well, I'm, workers' rights.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, workers' rights. They're like, yeah, engineers suck. Yeah. And then it becomes fashion. Because you're like, yeah, engineers do suck. Maybe we should kill. You need to. Okay, what you need to do is you need to build like a plate in the generator so we can electrocute. And I'm like,
what have I become?
We've gone a little bit excessive. I was being like, hey, you guys are working too long. I know it's important.
Take
it's dangerous
a break.
Gas, but
have
so
a
we need
Kit
to,
Kat.
You know,
yeah.
You're not you when you're hungry. Have a Snickers.
Yeah. Like, worker safety was something we should be. Kill the engineers, you say.
That's the opposite of worker safety.
Okay.
Oh, electrocuting them. That is dangerous. Yeah.
And then the last, I think the last DLC that came out was it's you're this like very small, like little outpost. Resources are so scarce. There's no way you can get food. Like, there's limited amount of like wood you can kind of like harvest, and you're relying on like New London, which is like the one that you used to have.
Oh, yeah.
It's now like past that giant storm. And so it's just kind of like New London, like, we need your coal and those steam cores. Givey, givey, givey. And you're like, here you go. And like, here's some food. Like, that's a good arrangement.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you were late. Well, food's going to be late. Okay, well, here it is. Well, here's your food. Hey, that was less food than you gave before. We know. Now we're not giving you any food. You're like,
okay.
And so then you find, you know, like exploring and finding a place we can do trade with some food. And London are like, how dare you? Give us that food. And then you're like, no, declare war. I don't want to be there. And then you got to like go around and find other like settlements and try and like build up enough to get to a certain point. And then like London are like, things are bad. Can you help us? And so then you can either like help them by sending stuff there, or you
you flip London off and say, enjoy sinking into the Thames, idiots.
You can enjoy sinking into the frozen Thames, and I guess we now have to deal with refugees that are coming to our camp. And then when that's done, maybe we take over New London.
Oh, I see.
Good idea.
But yeah, really, really love the game. It's like a lot of fun. It does what you like, Jack, where it's just like you don't have to engage with the story.
Love it.
And it's there if you want it to. Like, you know, you can, like, every time you go to an explore a little, like, section, like, oh, you can learn a little bit more lore. And, like, there's certain things that appear in all the different sort of playthroughs. So you're like, oh, man, I was here before, and this is where I, you know, either picked apart in, like, a automaton, or this is where it happened, and blah, 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 or I blew this bridge up, and that's cool. This is here we are. So it's like you learn a little bit more about the world as you're playing it.
And you
don't have it's engaged as much as you want to be.
I love a game that lets me pick, you know?
Because it was not designed for a Steam Deck.
Is this one of those famous Steam Deck experiences you're having where it's like, ooh.
Oh, no, it was really good. It worked really well.
Oh, okay.
The only time it really slowed down was when I had not plugged it in and it was like 10% or whatever.
Yeah,
and it was
just like chugging.
And I'm like,
I should charge this, but I'll let it get to maybe 6 or 7%.
Let it ride. And like, where's the charger? Literally behind me.
Let it ride. Is this one of those Steam Deck games that's not fully compatible, but it's mostly compatible?
It's mostly compatible. The only issue there is a lot of the text is like small.
Oh, yeah.
So you just got to press like the Steam button and like one of the
zoom
thing,
in.
And you zoom in, you can read it. That's about literally the only thing that's not quite Steam Deck compatible, which is fair enough. It's fine.
Yeah, you can still get by.
It's great. Got all the scenarios, got a good amount of achievements.
I was
very happy with it. And I don't want to go play it again because it will consume me.
That's another 2 weeks of your life gone.
Until
Frostpunk 2 comes out.
Then I'm all in.
Rip again.
How many thumbs?
Like a whole fist, you know? Whoa! It's great.
A whole fist, that's five thumbs.
Five thumbs, baby, perfect
Well,
game.
Is it your game of the year?
Currently.
Ten thumbs.
Or unless, is it
That's true.
Potentially your game of the year, but not quite your game of the year, in which case it's seven thumbs.
Yeah. I reckon, seven thumbs.
It's
seven
one
thumbs.
Of your games of the year.
Yeah. I had a blast with it. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun with it. There's like, it's one of those games where you can just, you know, just turn your brain off a little bit, but not too much because then everyone dies and wants to eat everyone else.
Becomes
like,
cannibals.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so funny that turning your brain off gives you that indication, that interaction with the game.
I thought it was funny to make each other.
But like it's a lot of
the first thing you do.
Cannibalism. Mm. Yeah.
Turn cannibalism
how
on.
How you make a perfect society.
Exactly. Seven thumbs. Could be my game of the year.
Time will tell.
Highly recommend grabbing it. I think it was on sale. Not now, but it was at one point.
Yeah.
And will be again.
And if you wish list it on Steam, chances are
you'll
when
get an
Frostpunk
email
2
when it's
comes
on sale.
Out, you'll get a you'll get an email, which I cannot click away.
Yeah.
Big purchase.
Big purchase.
Fair enough.
Hey, speaking of big things.
Yeah.
Is there someone at the door, Jackson?
Hey, guys, it's me, Mr. Ads.
Hey, Mr. Ads, who's this with you?
This is Mrs. Ads, my wife.
Mrs. Ads.
Hi, everybody, I'm Mrs. Ads.
Lovely to meet you both.
Oh, I didn't realize it was bring your wife to work
day. Yeah, bring your wife to work. Where's your wife?
Oh, I left my gamer wife at home.
Oh, no.
In the other room.
Everybody's my gamer wife. Well, everybody's my gamer girlfriend. I haven't popped the question.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm bringing my wife with me to every podcast.
I appreciate having this day with my husband, Mr. Ads.
Yeah, it's very nice to be here with my wife. I love her dearly.
And I love you too.
Yeah, all right. Well, me and my darling, beautiful wife have to carry on. So you have a good time.
Mrs. Ads, you've got a certain glow around you. Are you... Are we expecting a little sort of patter of little feet soon?
A little baby ads?
A little baby ads?
A wildly, wildly, wildly dangerous question, but luckily you've nailed it!
Yes, I'm about to be Father Ads! I cannot wait!
And I'm Mother Ads!
Well, maybe our baby will be ads. I don't know. All right, we've got to get out of here. You enjoy the rest of your show.
Lovely to meet you, boys. Lovely to meet you, too, Mrs. Ads.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Well, let's hear those ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Great ads.
Those ads.
Incredible.
Can I just say?
Haven't changed, and that's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful ads. And Jackson, we've hit the point in the episode. We've had beautiful ads. We got some beautiful emails this
week. I'm excited.
People have emailed us in at thumbcramspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And I got them right here in front of me. There's a lot of topics to cover in the segment.
Yeah.
But before we get to the emails, Jackson, me and you appeared on a different podcast this week that has also come out the same day as Thumb Cramps.
Yeah, that's
the Kotaku Australia podcast hosted by Ruby and David. David has taken a week off work, which he's allowed to do. He's fine. He sounds like he's taking a week off work because he died, but he's actually just taking a holiday.
It's funny to take a week off work because you died. A week will do it.
He's just on holiday, so Ruby called up her gamer boyfriends and said, hey, can you help me host this episode of Kotaku Australia?
Yeah.
And we did. Not only is there an audio component, you can also watch the video on YouTube.
Yeah,
so you should check out
mugs.
Yeah. We have a beautiful backdrop, and our camera angle makes it look like we're on a ship that's sinking, so it's good.
It's really worth seeing. If you want more of this, it's more of this.
Yeah. So that's the Kotaku Australia podcast, which is available on all podcast platforms or also on YouTube. There'll be links in the show notes below. There was also links in the show notes below last week when David and Ruby were on Thumb Cramps.
That's true. So you got plenty of links. You got no excuse.
You can just like fire up any kind of browser that you use, your Internet Explorers, your Safari, Firefox, and just Google Kotaku Podcast
Australia.
Scared of the government tracking.
Yeah, government.
Go to Tor.
Yeah.
The government doesn't need to know what you're watching.
No.
There'd be people out there that just use Tor to watch pornos, and that's a beautiful lifestyle.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That they would be too scared to just go private browsing.
The government knows they're looking at anal or whatever.
All anal threesome.
Can you even do that? Oh, no, yes.
Of course you can.
I just had to put the pieces together.
And you figured it out?
I figured out how you could do an anal threesome.
Good thought.
How many people do you reckon you could get to make a circle? Like, what's the number? What's the magic number?
Well, it depends on...
You're making a circle where you're all in each other.
Yeah, well, where are we in?
Assholes.
Okay, I was just wondering, because you could make the isosceles lock, right?
Well, I just feel like
which
it's
is easier.
Oh, the isosceles lock, that does make a circle. That's true.
Because I reckon three.
Yes, well, threes, that's perfect.
But if we're all,
I'm imagining standing
weeded
assholes. And then in a circle, you're all angled in such a way that you make a tight little circle.
Mm. Yeah.
Someone get on the maths
I reckon...
of this.
One, two.
I'm going to say back. 10.
See, I was going 6.
Interesting.
Yeah, so all anal sixum.
Yeah, I reckon.
You can look that up on Tor and the government won't know.
The government won't know you're looking up a sixum.
Yeah.
So, Jackson, what do you want to start with today? Do you want to start with the buying video games is embarrassing v. not embarrassing debate?
I do love that debate.
Do you want to follow up to your pushing the wheelie bin through the desert story?
That's intriguing.
Or an email just called It's Question Time. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with the wheelie bin, because it's crazy for someone to follow up a thing that happened in my life.
Yeah, a real life thing that happened to you. For anyone who doesn't know, and we've told the story a lot, so everyone's probably across everybody's, it.
But if you're new to Thumbcraft,
it's your first time.
It's everybody's first, every episode is somebody's first episode.
That's true. And this, what a heater of a first episode this has been.
Yeah.
What happened in the ad break, people are saying?
So, for people who don't know, a while ago, a long time ago, many years ago, I had a wet dream where I was wheeling a wheelie bin through a desert.
Yeah, and you woke up calm.
I woke up in the process of jizzing.
Mm.
My bad.
This is from...
My bad.
Jizzing my bad.
Very nice.
King of the castle.
So, worth noting that this person not only has their name in their email address, but also signs email off with their name. Okay. Not a coward.
Yeah.
Which is brave. Bold, considering the context of this email.
I'm excited.
So this is from Bianca.
Okay.
Dear my gaming boyfriends, I have just awoken from a Jackson-style wet dream.
Okay.
I was driving a car and had just realized I would need to learn German for a scavenger hunt when I suddenly woke up coming.
That rolls, Bianca. That's the best shit ever. Oh, man, I'm going to need to know German. Because I imagine, you know, like... Dust coming! For me, like...
Ich bin einkommen.
Speck in the calm.
Because for me, when I was wheeling the wheelie bin, I just said,
do you speak calm, I think. That's good.
I think I said, I am a jelly donut. Anyway.
Yeah, because as I was wheeling the wheelie bin, that's all I was doing. I didn't have any thoughts. I was just wheeling the wheelie bin. But Bianca, when they woke up, was like, I need to know. Like, those two, that thought with the coming, an incredible combination.
Yeah. I hope you learn German. But it is a sexual reason.
Yeah. If German made you come once.
Bianca, after having that dream, I would be like, I need to learn German to figure out what's going on here.
Is it
German or the dream or driving a car? So many questions.
Mm. Scavenger hunts?
P.S. I want to thank you for the idea of playing a single-player Switch game with two people each holding only one Joy-Con. I've been playing Mario Odyssey with my younger brother and it's been an infuriating blast.
Oh, yeah. It's good fun. It's annoying, but it's powerful.
All right, so let's jump into an email from Jack. Hello, boyfriends and guest, who I guess is sitting on the cock chair third wheeling on this podcast day.
Baby.
Buying video games is not as...
being a gamer cock, that's
fine. Yeah, that's real good.
All right.
Buying a video game is not an embarrassing thing. An embarrassing thing is not being able to find Fallout 3 for the PS3 at an EB Games. But then while they're looking for Fallout 3 for you, and then they hold up a copy of Far Cry 3 because for some reason you asked for help finding the wrong game, and then have to explain that you meant Fallout 3 and not Far Cry 3, and then also having to be carded because it was a while ago, so they checked your age for the ID.
No, at that point, I'm like, thank you, and you buy Far Cry 3.
That's the game I was looking for. Yep,
that's the one I said.
I'm excited to play Far Cry 3.
Do you also have Fallout 3 by chance?
I'm buying two games today.
And then you look at them and be like, maybe I'll just go for Fallout.
I'll just take Fallout 3, actually. Can you put Far Cry 3, bro?
I don't need Fallout.
That's so grim. My goodness.
Signed, a non-video game buying coward, Jack Davenport. Full name.
Awesome name. Very cool.
Jack's also... Also, a fun thing is that Jack sent this email from their phone and accidentally included a sloth emoji in the middle of the email and then said, I'm sorry, my phone decided to add that and I cannot be bothered to remove it.
It gives me the vibes that Jack sent this in a moment of panic and desperation. Like, as they're, I don't know, they're in the middle of, they're in bad traffic or something. Shoot off an email to the Thumb Cramps boys.
And then we've got another person that is not a coward, and the subject of this one is buying video games is not embarrassing.
Awesome.
So they sign off with, and it's important to see, read this, I reckon, at the end of the email, but also before the email.
Okay, sure.
My name is Bryn Jennings, and I approve this message. Hello, my video game husbands and lightly carbonated guest. First off, is it an Australian thing that non-gamers work at game stores? Every GameStop and Best Buy around me is filled with people who look like they own that Dead Island Collector's Edition.
Yeah, I know the guy. I can imagine the type.
But
yeah.
I am a 35-year-old married man with a 10-year-old child. When Pokemon came out, I walked into GameStop to buy both Pokemon games with my daughter. The lady behind the counter asked my daughter her favorite Pokemon and would she catch a bunch of them. Her reply was, "I don't play Pokemon, I just like Eevee." To which I stated, "This is the first time I have been able to get both. I'm jacked." In summary, I feel like I just don't care enough about how about what the red shirts that work at a game store think about how I spend my adult money. Also, I have spent more money than I care to explain on Nerf guns for work alone. Thank you for the best video game podcast ever. My name is Bryn Jennings, and I approve this message.
Bryn Jennings, that's awesome. It's awesome that the question was pitched at your child, and you answered.
Yeah. Your child was like, I don't know.
My kid doesn't give a shit about Pokemon, but let me tell you, I'm jacked. That's awesome, Bryn. More power to you.
So we've got two emails that tie together from two separate senders, and we're going to save those for last.
Sure.
But just before we get to those... Yeah. Here's an email from CJ from the Discord.
Nice.
Hello, the boys. Recently, I was talking to my friend about just random game nonsense, and he mentioned that some game that I didn't care about was a Total Cameron game. That's my name, by the way. Hi.
I see.
I asked James Cameron. We're talking about
Avatar on the Xbox 360.
Talking Avatar?
I asked what he meant, and he basically just listed off things he associates with me and gaming. So I want to know, what is a Jackson game in the eyes of Dusha, and what is a Dusha game in the eyes of Jackson?
Basically,
how do you guys identify when you recognize any particular game that is a good fit for the other person? I'm so sorry if this is bad. I've been drinking.
Hell yeah.
Okay, okay.
I think a Dusha game, it has to have either come out pre... like 2006, or be a sequel to a game that came out pre 2006. So, you know, we're talking like a game that came out on, I don't know, theoretically the GameCube. But even the PS2, I can see that as well.
I'm not a PS2 guy.
I would say for JD, it needs to be like awful vibes. If a game has awful vibes, all over it.
Absolutely. And I think it needs to be punchy, too. I think you need a game that... I can't see you playing a game that you might describe as, like, slow or relaxed. Yeah. I don't think that's really for you.
No. Like, when Ape Out came out, and there was trailers for that, he's buying that's a Joel Dusha game.
That's an absolute Joel Dusha game out the gate.
The fact that you have purchased and own Disco Elysium threw me for
a loop. I cannot imagine you playing that game.
I can't imagine you playing that game.
Yeah.
Have you played that game yet?
I haven't because...
Okay, cool. I don't need a reason.
Oh, wait. Actually, I bought it again. Yeah, I'll play it soon. Because I was like, because I bought it on PC when there was that week where it was like, hey, buy this now because it's about to get banned in Australia.
Yeah.
So I bought it on PC when I had a PC at my house. But then after that, like, the government were like, oh, actually, yeah, you can release your silly little video game.
Yeah,
we don't care,
fair,
actually.
Fair.
We're the government and whatever. And then the PC that was at my house ended up back at the studio, and I know it's a long game, so I was like, I'm not going to start at the studio. I'll sort it out. But if I end up with a Steam Deck, I'll definitely play it on that.
But
I think I also got it really cheap on the Switch. I feel like it was like 70% off or something. I was like, I'll buy it.
I think I've bought that game maybe three times for the same reason.
It happens.
It does.
Additionally, a Dusha game is any game you can imagine someone playing after getting home from the skate park. If you can imagine someone getting home, putting their skateboard up against the wall, turning on a CRT TV, putting a CD or disc into the game and playing it, I think that's a you game. That's the vibes.
Things that, like, I would say, not that high with a, like, strategy kind of thing. But, like, fast-paced.
Yes. Yeah.
That's... Yeah. The fast pace I'll pay. Strategy, a lot of the fast-paced games, you need a strategy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but like, it's not like
a city builder.
You're not doing any simulated games at all.
I know you guys like when we get into, like, you know, Age of Empires.
Red Alert.
But Age of Empires is a game you can play after coming back from the skate park. That's where that fits.
And you can play Age of Empires like an ape if you want. And just...
Absolutely.
A Jackson game... Minimal story or story that doesn't matter at all that you can skip. It needs to have a skip cutscenes button if there is any cutscenes. It either needs to be a character so bland the Jackson in his head can roleplay if he decides he wants to, or a customizable game.
Yeah.
And it, because you get the most joy from video games where you've made your own narrative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even though you hate story. So that really doesn't make sense to me. But you love to have a little pretend story in your head and ignore the one that the game has given you.
It needs to be like almost like a linear like progression of hard. It can't kind of...
No, there cannot be a difficulty curve.
No, not at all.
It I will not stand for it.
Yeah.
It needs to kind of
it
like...
It needs to get harder without you noticing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or start extremely hard.
Yeah.
So Resistance Fall of Man at the start of the episode, you'd be fine with, because it starts really hard and then drops off.
Yeah, that's
so then
perfect.
If it does get hard again, you'll just remember the start of the episode, the start of the game, and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is good.
I remember when it was hard.
It needs to be like... story simple, gameplay complex.
Yes.
has a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Crafting? You love crafting for like, some reason.
Weirdly, I would say Hitman.
Yeah, I think Hitman. I think I'd
be
love
in
Hitman,
your alley because it's like a lot of those. It's like it's a very simple level where it's just like think about like a very small like almost pond, but it's deep.
I think it's
deep as hell.
I think the problem with Hitman for Jackson is that it is a game where you can go fast, so he'll want to go fast, which means that he won't stop.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine me setting up some elaborate trap.
He won't
ever
get good at the game because he'll refuse to.
But if I was like, I'm going to see if I can beat the whole game by killing people with a can of spaghetti.
You'll be patient,
Then I would be patient about it.
Yeah. So I think, so. Hitman, I think it'd be
I think I should probably play the Hitman.
It's very simple. There's not really much of a storyline. He's got to kill a guy. And he's like, go nuts, do this.
And I get the whole playground of the level to mess around in.
Yeah.
And then, any sort of Souls games.
Yes. Of course, absolutely.
Obviously,
if I can roll around and hit a big guy,
with
something dumb,
that's really slow.
Yeah.
I forget what game we were talking about, but we had a good friend Adam, and he was talking about like, oh Jackson, I think you'd really like this, and I'm like, no, he would not.
Yeah, what was that? Damn.
Yeah, it might have been maybe like an isometric kind
of.
Warhammer 40K.
Was it like a Baldur's Gate?
Yeah,
style
either
game?
Like a Baldur's Gate, like a Torment.
He's like, you'll like it. And I'm like, do you know me? Dude.
It's just one of those things, and I'm just like, do you have rocks for brain, Adam?
The only game Jackson ever should play is JFK Reloaded. That's the only game that was made for Jackson.
That's true. That game was pure. Somebody had a vision of me.
Yep.
I was their muse.
And now, finally, to bring us home, we got two emails, both that address the same thing, both coming at it from very different angles, both very worth investigating.
I'm excited.
So this is from Cheesemonger from Twitch, who has, first of all, drawn some incredible art again for us that we will post on Twitter. In fact, when you check on Twitter, we would have posted it a couple of days ago. Yeah. That's exciting.
That is.
The artwork is of Mr. Ads bursting
wonderful.
Into the studio. Mr. Ads 2 makes an appearance. It's beautiful.
It's phenomenal. Nice.
And Jackson has holes in his hands from when he was nailed to the cross.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's a kind of
progression of Cheesemonger's last drawing. That's awesome.
So, dear Thumbcramps, the media entity, please give this picture I drew to Mr. Ads when he arrives. Thanks.
Well, we should have. Yeah, get him next time. Get him on the next one.
And this is where the email takes a red hot turn.
I'm excited.
Also, I am a 23-year-old virgin.
Nice.
And have more raw charisma leave my body in my morning piss than either of you have had in either of your lives.
Okay.
I'm never embarrassed about anything ever, least of all purchasing video games. Sometimes I'll even peruse the little video game plushie stand in the middle, like I might consider buying a Minecraft creeper doll. I do not care. Maybe if you spent less time in bed next to your lovely wives and more time gaming, people would respect you.
Cheesemonger, that rules. You're my hero. It's awesome to... It's just so good.
To be like, I'm 23.
I'm a virgin. You're cucks. That's bull.
You're pussy cucks.
Yeah. Sorry. Too bad.
Yeah.
I think that rules.
Yeah.
I respect it.
I respect it too. More people should email him and tell us.
You're cucked by sex.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cheesemonger, more power to you.
I'm not going to read the subject of this email because it gives away one hell of a reveal.
Okay, I'm excited.
Actually, the first sentence does too, so that's exciting. This is from Ryan, who does sign their name off.
Okay.
Hello, gamer boyfriends and elegant guest. I'm emailing you with excellent news. I am no longer a virgin.
Yeah, Ryan!
Well done, Ryan.
And it's thanks
to... Welcome to the cucks of the world.
Yeah.
Hang on, it's thanks to you. Hang
on. And it's thanks to you, boys, and Joel Zammit.
Hey! Well, you're welcome.
What?
It started on a night like any other, watching Ty West's X, which it did give to me. Funny.
Yeah.
X gonna give it
to
you.
Yeah, okay. It's good stuff.
Then after the film finished, we began talking about James Cameron's masterpiece, Titanic. For anyone who doesn't know, that's the movie they made about the boat that died.
Yeah, the boat dies. They killed that boat. Yeah,
based on a real-life boat that actually died.
That's true. Ripped to the boat. Mm.
While talking about that, I referenced a few jokes made in an old Plumbing the Death Star episode. They recognized the references, and one thing led to another, and we started talking about thumb cramps and video games. After talking for a bit, I played a bit from a recent episode, and she kissed me. I lost my virginity to her while Thumb Cramps was playing on my phone.
No!
No! Oh my god!
Thank you, Thumb Cramps, for helping me get laid. Now that I've had sex, I feel more embarrassed buying video games in person. I'm a full gamer now. All the best, Ryan.
Wow.
Ryan, you have made a very dangerous decision here, because what you've done is you've lost your virginity to someone that you know is aware of Sans Pants Radio. You have then showed them Thumb Cramps. And then in the very next episode after that event, Ryan, you've emailed us, which we then read out, and I reckon they're going to put two and two together.
I wouldn't be shocked.
To
if you're the other person, email in.
Why did that work?
What was like having coitus to the sounds of Thumb Cramps? Was it a good rhythm?
Did it work? Was it?
And then the PS is a throwback to another hot topic in our emails that we haven't had any for a while. PS, I have cut my balls while shaving and listening to Thumb Cramps. Thumb Cramps has been there for every important moment of your life, Ryan. That's beautiful.
I
just don't know if I could make sweet love to listening to a podcast. I think I'd get too distracted one or the other.
If you had to pick one of the podcasts we do to make love what would you pick?
Thumb Cramps.
Why Thumb Cramps? Because it's the sexiest. Thumb Cramps is like slow jazz.
I think because Thumb Cramps, I reckon it's...
Yeah, it's an order of, process of elimination, right?
Plumbing the Death Star's too much. Oh, mess me up.
I think with Thumb Cramps, you could get distracted, and then if you zone back in, you're not frightened. With Plumbing the Death Star, you zone in and something's going on.
Plumbing the Death Star play/ruin D&D. Perfect lovemaking.
Yeah, that's
soundtrack.
A good choice.
Thumb Cramps is safe for schools, so therefore I know that the person I'm about to sleep with will not be offended by the content of the podcast.
That's true, no cussing.
No cussing helps. Just some good, clean sex.
Good. Clean sex and discussions about when can we make an anal circle.
Wow, that's awesome.
And if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. It's a real toss-up between Ryan's I had sex to Thumb Cramps for the first time ever email and that other email that was like, I don't understand how you find buying video games embarrassing. It might be because I'm young and a virgin, but I do not care. Have you guys considered being younger or having less sex?
That's awesome.
Ryan, I'm going Ryan.
It was a Hall of Famer email.
Absolutely.
And make sure you head to our Twitter account and check out Cheesemonger's
drawing
of
Mr. Ads.
Because it's bang on. It's 100%
it's
accurate.
It's perfect. Yeah.
And today's episode it's been a long episode, so I think I've forgotten everyone's scores. 7 thumbs from Joel Zammit. Mm-hmm.
5 thumbs from me.
So that's 12. And then 3 thumbs and a knock from me. Mm-hmm. So that brings it to 15 thumbs. And 2 thumbs for charging. Yeah. So 17 thumbs and a knock.
Beautiful.
Good episode.
Good app. That's what people are saying.
Have more sex, I reckon.
Yeah.
Have sex to Thumb Cramps. Yeah. Report back.
It works.
This
apparently
is a call to action.
Yeah. Find out which one of our many shows we do. Let us know when and what. Like, maybe timestamp at the moment of climax.
We're happy to claim that we're the only video game podcast that's good to jack off to, too.
Yeah.
Let us know. Inbox is always open.
Yeah, we're always ready to receive.
Thanks for having me for this.
Oh yeah, where can we find
you? I've learned so much about everyone. You can find me on Plug with the Death Star. You can find me on D&D is for Nerds. You can also find me on another podcast that we do for not a Sans Pants show, but it's a nice show. It's called Baseless Speculation.
It's on the Wood Elf Network.
Yeah,
which is the same network as the biggest gamer of all, Markiplier.
That's true.
Yeah, it's me and two other beautiful hosts, and we talk about upcoming film and television series, and we spitball about, you know, what we reckon is going to happen in said thing.
What's going to happen?
We've spoken about video game on there before.
We have. Exclusively Zelda, right?
It's been the same Zelda game
sure has.
Twice.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. Well,
makes sense. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Joel Salmon. Until next time, listeners, you know what I said before, do it.
Yeah, it still stands.
I'm Joel Salmon, and I support this message.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.